This is
Mythical.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com. Welcome to Best Friends Back All Right, the show where two high school best friends try the best friend thing again. I'm Stevie Wynn Levine.
And I'm Nagin Homayfar. And today, it's spooky season, guys. We are just a few days from Halloween.
The countdown begins.
We're at Mythicon. Yes. We're so excited to meet many of you.
Some of you could be flying on a plane right now to come to Mythicon. Some of you
driving.
Aren't. That's okay. You can enjoy driving as well. You could be on a train, a bus, any of those things. For those of you who are not coming to Mythicon, we still love you. And this podcast is still for you because we're trying to get you into the spooky, creepy mood of the season by talking about some of our fears today.
Yeah.
In a happy way.
In a happy way. I will say I felt like in thinking about what I was going to share today about fears, I felt like, well, I feel like this whole show has been about me sharing my fears in some way or the other. So like, what else can I share?
Yeah. What else can you dig in on and analyze about yourself? Yeah.
Yeah. Like we've talked about the bears. Oh, and rats.
Yeah.
We've talked about, like, you know, fear of disappointing parents and all sorts of fears. So I'm excited to hear what
from
you're
bears
able to
rats to parents.
From it to parents. I'm excited to hear, like, what you were able to bring to the fore. But how was your weekend before we get into that?
Okay. Yeah. So I was going to say, well, what I've been doing all week is I have my notes app open, and I've just been jotting down things as they come to me that I'm afraid of. And the list is long, okay?
I feel like that's a really difficult, bad exercise to do for, like, your mental health.
Yeah. You have hated on me for talking about the Gaylor theory for too long. So I want to rest assured, today we will not be talking about Taylor Swift or camping out on anything. And plus, by the time this is out, she'll already be out, so it's fine. But I had a BFBA-related weekend in some ways. Because guess who was in town?
Lucinda Melvin.
Oh my God. Talk about fears. Art school boy.
How is he?
Yeah. So I haven't seen him since college, I think.
Whoa.
Or like it's been a minute. And
do you guys keep in touch?
Not really, no.
Okay.
And his sister, I guess, moved to LA. And so he texted midweek and was like, I'm going to be in LA. And so I was like, let's get brunch. And he was like, yes, that's the most important gay meal of the day, which I agree. And so we had a time together. But the fear that was unlocked for me is that he insisted at the end of my kind of like East Side parade of brunch and drink places that he wanted to go, and I'll leave it a little bit loose. I don't want to name anything, but he wanted to go to a West Hollywood restaurant bar that has been featured on a reality TV show that I have not seen a second of in my entire life. And
did he want to go to see?
Oh, you're guessing? You're guessing after I said I wasn't sure. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Is he into like Vanderpump Rules?
Okay, yes. Nailed it. And so
Art school boy, I miss you.
I find myself like, you know, not forced. Force is too strong of a word, but kind of forced to go at the end of this long day to this bar with him. I am terrified of the West Side. I'm terrified of West Hollywood. I hate it. I don't know why. There's something that I really hate about it. I'm terrified of like just the situation I was in at this particular like reality show restaurant bar unlocked this like deep-seated fear I have of going west of like La Brea or Fairfax. Like there's a line for me where I'm okay and then I cross over to the other side of LA and I become frightened of everything.
Yeah. Is it like the way people dress? Is it the way like what is it?
It's a different it's a different vibe. It's just a different like scene where weight is given to things that I don't give weight to.
I see.
That paired with having consumed a lot of alcohol, I think really escalated things. I just felt like out of my, you know, out of my element. General area. Yes, yes.
Well, did he like it?
Unclear. He did see two celebrities at one of the East Side places that I also had no idea who they were. So I felt like I'm doing my duty of like bringing you to places where you see celebrities that you you like. I also brought him to a gay leather bar, which I also felt like I was giving, you know.
Yeah.
But in the end, it was I was left with the fear of the West Side. So I put West Side down on my notes app.
Oh my God.
So that's if any indication of the type of fears we're gonna be going through today, we can cross West Side off the list.
Man. My weekend also brought up some fears. But this fear has to do with a future conversation that I have some anxiety about having.
Okay.
And that's a conversation I think lots of people might have, you know, fear of having, which is talking to your kids about where babies come from.
Oh, this is like a real future conversation we're thinking about.
Yeah, okay. This is future. This is, I'm always thinking 10 steps ahead, right?
10 steps, like, honey, 10 years, sure, yeah.
So I was having dinner at my sister's place, and her children, her two nieces that are 4 years old,
your two nieces,
were sitting. They're
her kids, daughters,
her kids,
your nieces.
And my nieces.
Okay. Good.
I actually did a lot of skin to skin when they were born, and so I feel very bonded with them. So sometimes they're just my kids and her nieces.
I'm glad the skin to skin happened when they were born. Continue.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. Okay. So somehow this question came up of like, oh, where do babies come from? And I was kind of like, oh, haha, this will be so cute to see them like think about it for the first time. And no, these girls had a tight answer. They had a tight answer. They said, when sperm meets egg.
I'm confused. You asked them where babies came from?
Yeah, I asked them. It made sense in the conversation.
This is the chaos that you're inserting into your sister's life is asking at the dinner table where babies come from.
Let me remind you, my sister, Dr. Nas, loves to talk about the vagina, loves to talk about the woman's reproductive system.
So it's like pass this the is salt, normal. Pass the vagina. Yeah.
Talk. Okay. So it's like, where do babies come from? Cute little story. And in their little English American accent, they said, when sperm meets egg.
They have a British accent?
Yeah, their dad's English. And they have one. They have one. Yeah.
That's like when kids have Peppa the Pig English accents from watching the show. Like they just like absorbed it from
their dad.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Have you ever heard a clearer answer for how
children are made?
Sperm meets egg.
Yeah.
I did a double take one because I wasn't expecting the biological, like the real answer one. And then I mean, apparently this is something that they just had asked their mom and dad
of
the other day. And so kudos to my sister and her husband. They just, they gave them the facts.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Did you expect anything less? I mean, they're going to have to ask about waxing soon. And we know your sister knows some answers about that soon.
I know my sister's going to give them a recommendation.
As soon as they reach five years old. It kind of sounds like the tagline for a movie, like when sperm meets egg, you know? And also they could have worked on like inserting the R into sperm. So that would be a good note because you said when sperm meets egg. And I feel like if they could work on sperm. Point. So when you go back for dinner the next time and you ask again, just back and forth on sperm.
Yeah.
Sperm.
I love. Yeah.
Best
man,
the spam.
I don't remember getting the baby talk or the sex talk or anything like that from my parents.
No.
But I just know that people have horror stories from it. And it's like tons of misinformation. There's no stork.
There's no stork.
There's no bird.
And how would
that
be comforting? Like, that sounds terrifying. As a little child, if you're like, well, actually, a giant bird flew you in. Like, okay.
I mean, these days it would be like a drone dropped you off.
True. Okay, oh, so your first fear on the list is the fear of talking to your children about sex.
It was a fear, but now...
You'll just have your nieces do it.
I'm going to delegate that responsibility to my very eloquent nieces.
Okay. Well, what else is on your list?
Okay. Go? I can start off with a current fear of mine that's not yet been resolved, which is I'm generally fearful of being scared. I'm fearful of being like in a frightened state. And
is that
specifically,
allowed? I don't Logan. Is that
I think
allowed?
It is.
No. Your first fear is of having fear. You have a fear of having fear, and the first fear is.
I'll get specific. So I have a fear of getting startled or being startled. It is completely different, okay? Guys, you know, for those of you listening, thanks for continuing to listen. I just need to let these ladies know, okay, we're having a conversation, so you just have to have open mind. You just have to trust that maybe I'll provide some details because it's a real fear.
Startled. Okay.
So remember when we talked about the horror films and like why they're scary?
Yeah.
One of the elements of why horror films are so scary to me is like when that boot moment happens when somebody
like the
jump scare. Okay.
You're afraid someone's gonna like pop around a corner or something's gonna make you jump.
It's the fear of the jump scare. Is that better?
That's better. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. So as a kid, I was regularly called Shaitun, which in Farsi
Shulamit.
Turns out we both have Hebrew names. So it's called Shaitun, and it's a Persian word that's derived from the word devil. Okay? So it's like a cutesy way of saying, you little
shit.
You little troublemaker. I was super playful. Okay? So everybody called me Shaitun, and one of the reasons was I loved hiding behind the couch, hiding behind a wall, and jumping.
Yeah.
I love scaring people. So, I mean, it didn't matter like how old you were, what if you were a boy or it didn't matter who you were. I wanted to scare you.
Yeah.
I think scared my grandpa at one point.
See the reaction. You liked
I
that
loved
moment
it.
Of, yeah. Okay.
Of them being scared and then realizing it was just me. And so, it was just so thrilling. But I had to stop doing it because I couldn't accept what I was giving. Okay, I could not be scared.
Oh, when it was done to
people.
you didn't
when it was
like
done
it.
To me.
Okay.
It was terrifying. I was like, I was just so I would get really scared and then exhausted by that fear. I would be like, oh, okay, we're done, guys. So you didn't have to do it back at me. You didn't have to do it. So I had to just stop doing it wholesale because
That's very measured and mature of you to have that response.
Thank you. Treat others how you want to be treated.
Yeah, the golden rule. You apply that to every moment of your life. Okay. So like what was this time period of scaring people to not scaring people?
Oh, okay. So I think, I mean, this is definitely happening in my preteen years. So let's say from like ages, from young age to like, I don't know, I think I was doing it up to 10, 11.
Okay. A good period of time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a time where it's appropriate to be that person doing it. So I think I kind of grew out of it at an appropriate age. But it just got me thinking about like, in general, anticipation.
Yes.
Is something that is scary.
You know, right? What children's games always freaked me out are hide and seek. There's something that like every time I hid, I was like, I have to pee so bad right now. And I don't even physically think that was the case, but there was this something like about like, okay, someone is trying to find me, and like this fear inside of you.
Something happens to your body where it does make you want to pee. It's like when you're nervous, you go up to speak on a stage or something. It's like, well, now I gotta pee my pants.
Oh, there's other things I'd like to do, you know, for those nerves. But and then the other thing, tag. Whenever someone was chasing after me, I was like, my fear is like, and I'd have to tell myself, like, what do you think happens when they catch you that you're so you try to be afraid logical. Of? But like, I, that like anticipation that someone's going to find you or catch you, I totally get.
It's scary. And you can't, I think it's like impossible to think logically when you're scared.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Or when you're like, and like, because here you're like trying to tell yourself like, okay, they're just going to tap me on the shoulder. That's it. But you're like, no.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Did you ever watch The Ellen Show when it was on?
Yeah.
So she has this thing where she will scare her guests.
Yes.
Oh my God. That is like a worst nightmare.
You know what? On the list of things that she's done, again, I don't think that that's at the top of the worst.
I didn't say it was the worst, but... But it is something when I would watch, I would be like, fucking A, if she ever did that to me.
If she ever does that to
if
me.
If Ellen ever scares me, she doesn't know what's coming for her.
But you do laugh at the people that get scared. It's like when I think I told you in third grade, they'd pull me aside and said, you can't laugh at people when they get hurt. It's not nice. But it's like, it's so funny. Like, it's so funny. It's the same thing, laughing at people that get scared.
That get scared, get anything. I think I, though, have passed this skittishness off to Kishmish because, man, you, like, move the chair a little bit. He's laying down. You walk a little too heavily. And he's like,
Ringo's also a little bitch.
Is he?
Yeah. My fears list, it's not the same kind of fear. Like, it's not this, like, physical, deep-seated thing. Because, like, the first thing just on, I'm just going to go in order, but the first thing on my list that I jotted down was period underwear.
It's a fear or a discomfort.
Frightening to me. The idea of it is frightening to me.
Is this like the Thinks? Those things?
Yeah, I think there's multiple brands.
Yeah.
Have you worn period underwear?
I have one pair of Thinks.
That is terrifying to me. That is terrifying to me. Do they work?
Without getting too gross, I have not experienced it in a heavy flow mode. I'll just say that.
Yeah, I don't trust them. I don't trust them. I fear that they don't work. Mm-hmm. And I'm worried about the number of women out there wearing underwear like this and what happens. I would categorize it as the fear of things coming out.
You're so generously using the term fear in this moment.
Get freaking ready. I fear period underwear. I fear unnecessary things coming out. I just don't want things coming out.
Yeah, leaking.
Same token I was thinking. Well, opposite side of the coin. I fear bidets.
Yes.
Because I don't want things going in.
Oh, that's
There's
not...
an in and out.
Yes.
Unexpectedly. Or like, I just like, there's something terrifying to me about a bidet.
I agree.
Almost the opposite way of period underwear. But they kind of live in the same like area. And we have bidets in the bathroom here and I can't do it. I can't do it because in my mind, that spray could go freaking anywhere.
That's what scares me.
It's going to go up your back. Yes. You know, it's going to go around the room.
That's the mess. It can make a mess.
It could shoot out the front.
Yeah.
I have a fear of making
a mess. That's why I'm afraid of bidets. Like, I don't want that to. Can you imagine the person comes out of the bathroom, your bathroom, your office bathroom, and you see a wet stain on their lower back? You're like, well, that bitch did not know how to use that.
Exactly. So, yes, I think in both instances of the period underwear and the bidet, it's a fear of mess because it could be a mess in multiple ways. They're both messes down below. But I'm terrified of both of those things.
Okay. I think that's totally fair.
I mean, I could keep going, you know, because the next thing on my list thematically doesn't really fit with those
Let's
two.
Hear it.
But I'll top it out there. I'll bottom it right out there. Using the wrong form of there.
Okay. I just want to stop you just for 1 second, okay? I am sorry. Is this going to be like a list of things Stevie just dislikes? Or is
Excuse me?
Afraid
Not
of.
All of us can be scared of being scared. Some of us have fears of other things.
Is this so the fear of you incorrectly using there?
Yes. Okay. The fear of me incorrectly using there. I'm very good at using the various different forms of there, but sometimes if I'm in a rush and I'm slacking something or I'm texting something, the wrong there will slip out.
Yes.
And it terrifies me. And on Slack, you can edit your message, correct yourself. But on text, you have to send like an asterisk situation. And what I will not do is I will not let the there stay there. That is the incorrect there.
Yeah, you need people to know.
Because if you send me the incorrect there, I'm judging the shit out of you. And so I have this fear. I guess we could step back. I have a fear of people judging the shit out of me as I would them. Golden rule. So, yeah. So I think that that's valid.
Fair.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Okay, I mean,
Fine, back to you.
I can give you something like...
To be afraid of.
I can give you something like, I feel like in a similar level of casual, which is I have a real fear of knocking my side view mirrors off when I'm driving. I've got kind of bad depth perception.
Has this happened to you before? Have you knocked them off?
No, but I'm always afraid that I'm going to be a little bit too close to a car. So whenever I'm driving, I'm like just hyper conscious of my window, those little, what are they called? Side view mirror?
You'd have to get really close to a car though. This is like compact parking when you have a big car.
Oh my gosh.
Sounds like an Alanis Morissette lyric that she left off. It's like compact parking when you have a big car.
I have never hit my mirrors. I have scraped my car against another car in a compact parking space. And I think maybe that has something to do with it. But like, I need a 3-foot diameter from all angles for me to feel like I have enough space to drive.
What is it about the mirrors versus the rest of your car?
The mirrors are like little little hands. Like, I don't, you know, like I can't, I have a sense of the body. I have a sense of the body, but these two little T-Rex arms that are sticking out, like, I don't know what they're going to do. And it might be like, I'm afraid of other people being too close, but I hate being in super tight places. Or let me rephrase it. I have a fear of being in tight places.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll take me more seriously if I just say fear.
I like tight places.
I knew that was coming.
Wow. It's great when, Logan's like, I'm waiting for it. There you
Listen,
go.
I've been with straight women too. I like loose places as well.
Oh. Oh, man. Oh, that was good.
Oh, God. Okay. A fear of knocking the mirrors off your car. Okay. I can see that. I have seen, well, one, do you have the mirrors that rotate in when the car parks?
And oh, yeah. That is probably, that's such a nice feeling. I can fold or unfold the side view mirrors. And also when I reverse, it kind of.
Don't give too much away.
This has nothing to do with my fear. Now I'm just giving you features of the car I drive. The horsepower is great.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Have you seen that commercial? There's a commercial for a new Audi, and I guess you can do like light design. And there's this kid who's sitting in the passenger seat, and the mom is like out in front of the car, and the kid's like going through the different like light design feature. And the mom is like, I don't know. Let's try it again. And it's like, oh, this mom has so many light design choices. She can't figure out what she wants on her $125,000 Audi that's parked in this mansion's driveway on the shore. Like, it's so, and it's like, isn't this relatable?
Is the light an inside light?
I couldn't also tell. Oh. It was like little lights on the, like, you know, they have like the like side light. And
so
like
these are outside. Yeah, it's it's on the outside. It's not like the
She's on the outside looking at the kid inside the car doing things. It's just like one of these like fucking rich ass people things.
It looks like they watched not relatable. Too Fast, Too Furious and got some ideas for what like cool cars can do.
I just, for my lighting design, I'd like the lights to be on when they should be on and then be off when they should be off.
I think really you want some lighting gels, really, if Audi.
I do. We can go back to the lighting gel conversation. Okay, you started off the conversation by saying you have a fear of telling your kids about sex. I just have a fear of kids.
I thought you were going to say sex. Okay. Fear of kids. Yeah, let's talk about that.
Well, okay, you've seen the TikToks where the kids say things that are just like unintentionally creepy about like my friend so and so that lives in the corner, and like, you know, there's all these imaginary kids that friends. Have like legitimately creepy, you know, ghost things. But I'm also like scared of kids, like they're boogery, freaking like slobbery selves. Like the germs around a kid and them touching you, terrifying. Wow. There was a kid at gay brunch the other day just like and it's just like that is scary to me, that you could think that was okay. Everything about a kid scares me. Conversing with a kid, I don't know what you want me to say to you. Like, grow
Man,
up
kids
you
kids
know?
Also are unfiltered. So it is scary to have a conversation. Like, the truth hurts. When a kid gives you the truth, it hurts.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I'll ask my niece, like, if I can have something, right, in their house. And she just looks at me and she says, no, thank you. And walks away. Never have I felt shittier.
Hey, she's polite.
Never have I felt shittier. I'm like, I can't have a fucking snack. No, thank you.
You cannot. Another thing that scares me, different level, but people seeing that I've watched their Instagram story. I don't know what it is, but
you don't like people to know that you've given them any attention.
Yes. Oh my God. I avoid watching 99% of all Instagram stories. Because I don't like to be tracked. I don't like people to see what my own social media behavior is. When Instagram had the whole, which they probably do, like, which photos have you liked thing? Creepy. Mm. Twitter has that. You have to be conscious of what you like and what you do. So I have a fear of people knowing that I, because this is what it is. I don't want to have to take action on what I see. I want this to be a passive experience. Sometimes I'm not going to like an Instagram photo. Yeah. It doesn't mean that I don't care or that whatever. But now I have this pressure of and it also like affects IRL interactions with people when it's like, am I supposed to acknowledge that I know that you had a beer at this bar last weekend because I saw it on your Instagram story? And now we're supposed to have this conversation where I'm like, how was that beer that like, you I mean, had like, that I clearly saw on your Instagram story? Like, I just, it's weird to me. It like stilts like how you're supposed to interact with someone. And then it's like, if it's a friend of yours, I don't mind if it's like an ancillary situation. But if it's a friend of yours, I feel like I have to like take some kind of action. It's like, you know, you go girl, or like, I like the way that you are picking that flower, or like, it seems weird to me. Like, I'm not saying anything, but I'm clearly like watching you. And then you're watching me watch you. I don't like it.
Does this mean that when you post anything, you are really actively looking at who liked your stuff?
Yeah, totally. Totally. Not liked. That's a good point. Not liked, but watch.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. So when you see who has watched your story, what is your thought process? What are you thinking?
That's a very good point, because I'm not thinking like, well, so-and-so needs to be bringing this up in real life when I see them. But it's also, you know, I do a lot of like promotional stuff on my Instagram story. I've kind of like, I don't do as much like real social stuff on my thing, because then I feel the pressure to document everything, and that if I'm not documenting it, that it's bad. So like with Art School Boy, I think he posted something on his story. I don't even, in social interactions, I don't do any social media, because then I don't feel the pressure of them like thinking like, oh, am I not good enough to go on your story or whatever? I just don't. I've refrained from all of it. And also, I kind of get creeped out if like I'm posting something and, you know, in real time, and then like someone's watching it that I don't really know. Yeah. And like, is there a safety privacy thing there?
Exactly.
Yeah. But just, that pressure of like people wondering like, why isn't she posting this thing? It's like, cause I don't post anything, cause I don't want that, you know? And also like the whole, like, I'm at a concert. And by the way, I haven't watched your Instagram stories. So if you post it, you're at a concert, I'm sorry. But I just don't do that anymore either. Cause I'm like, okay, I'm going to be here in this moment. And like, part of the reason that I used to post those things on social media is because I did want people to know what I was doing. And like, because I did fall into the trap of like, you know, like, look at all the things I'm doing. Yeah. And then like, you know, some time ago, I was just like, why am I doing that? Like, why am I posting, like, look at what I'm doing?
Totally.
Like, I don't want anyone to look at what I'm
doing. Mm-hmm. It's a really hard balance, because there's part of it that's like, I want to share with people I know the things that are going on, because it's fun too, and this is how we're keeping up with each other. And then it's very quickly, it gets into the, well, now I'm sharing with people that I don't know, who I'm not going to speak with, what I'm doing. And they can then extrapolate whatever they want from that experience.
And you're experience. Like curating in such an interesting way. Yeah. It's just a mind fuck, all of it. And so that's what frightens me. And one other quick one, because I have such a long list. I do think this is relatable. Making a doctor's appointment scares the shit out of me.
That's because it's so badly done. It's you can't.
Like the reception and the,
It's different for every provider.
Yeah. Well, it's also, it taps into this, I think it's squarely a millennial fear of doing like everyday tasks. There's some kind of block in like, in doing things like making a doctor's appointment or like interacting. Like, listen, I am on back-to-back meetings with you know, in quote, important people every single day, and having like large conversations and doing all this stuff. Picking up the phone to call the doctor is it just instills a fear in me, and it doesn't make any sense, because like, why can't I talk to the receptionist to schedule a doctor?
Yeah, you want to know if your doctor has like a Slack forever that you can join and be like, can I just
email you? And so I those types of errands I give me so much freaking anxiety. And yeah. I don't fully understand why.
I feel like we're doing a really good job of making this episode super spooky, super Halloween-y. Really getting people in the mood.
I mean, are we going to talk about things that like we're actually legitimately
you guys are like, adults,
paralyzed right. by? No, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to manifest that. I'm not going to think, I'm not going to spend any time conjuring up negative energy thinking about like the future and what I'm scared of. So you will get that I'm scared of making a doctor's appointment. Thank you.
All right. I have a fear that I think is more, it's away from like the fear of administrative things and logistics. It's a fear of drowning and a fear of floating away in space. I think of these things very similarly. It's like this sense of like, it's all floating, you know? It's
you're floating and you sinking. Can't breathe.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Asphyxiation.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you elaborate on like what situation you'd be in which you would float away in space? Because that one feels yeah.
a very aspiration. Like a stretch. I have aspirational fears.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So these are like very common. If I think about like real fears, these are common ones because what, okay, so from the drowning one comes from the fact that I'm not a great swimmer, period. Okay, I can swim, I can float, but like my dog and I swim the same way, right? We're both doggy paddling and that's it. And so I feel like there's this fear of like, well, if something goes wrong, I don't know if I can save myself.
Yeah.
And the drowning part of it's like once you're in the ocean, it's dark. There's so much unknown.
Oh, I think the ocean broadly is very
scary.
Yes,
we have talked about
that.
The
expanse of the ocean, the depth of the ocean, because the other thing is that like you could be a good swimmer and still be very frightened of drowning because you could be stranded out in the middle of nowhere in the ocean and you can only swim for
so
long and you can only float for
so long. So this fear has just been escalated because I'm not a good swimmer and I'm also afraid of the unknown, the ocean. And I don't know if you watched this amazing documentary. It was called My Octopus.
Tell me,
My Octopus Teacher. Yeah. Oh,
yeah. I watched the trailer.
It is so good. Yeah. I highly recommend it. But it's basically the story of this documentarian who goes into the ocean in search of an octopus, and he forms a relationship with an octopus. But this whole time, he has all this
not
great
like the dolphin relationships. Yeah,
he's going into the darkest water. Okay, and it's like it's lonely. There are like not that many things around. You don't know what's gonna swim out from the kelp, mm-mm. right? Mm-mm. So there's the jump scare moment there.
There's a jump scare.
But I felt like this is
I'm so glad we taught you that term today.
No, me too. I'm going to be overusing it as a result. But so he's looking for the octopus. And I don't know if he intended for his film to be like suspenseful, but I found myself so scared the whole time I think of those elements of the darkness, the alone, and the like who's going to come out.
Well, and also you're not – when you're in that state, it feels like you don't have all your wits about you. Like you can't breathe in the same like optimal way that you can breathe not in the water. And you're like – maybe you could punch someone really hard, sure, but like your ability is limited in the water too. So you like you feel like defenseless. And then also a really big thing for me is the way that the ocean sounds, especially like when you get to a
like
certain
muffled?
Depth, it really freaks me out. Ooh. Yeah. Like everything, like sound travels differently in water. So everything just sounds different.
Oh my gosh.
So all those like can't breathe, can't see, can't fight, can't hear.
All the normal ways I would normally kick ass, I can't underwater. Yeah.
I'm going to hear you right to death.
The floating away one is, I'm surprised you haven't had this fear. I thought it was kind of a common one. of getting lost in space.
No, I think it is. Again, you're in more realistic fear territory. Remember, my first thing was period.
Yeah.
So, like, we're a little bit
we're
far
just
apart.
Going
but, like,
in different
yes,
directions.
I agree.
But the floating in white space, it happens the same way every time. Every time I think about it. It's I am in a
space. You're
yes,
talking about
I'm
now?
In outer space.
Okay,
I'm
okay,
in
okay.
a
yep.
astronaut suit. Space suit,
sure.
okay,
uh-huh.
and
yep.
so also my hands. It's kind of like I can't put my arms down normally. I can't move around normally. But I have been
okay.
disconnected from the International Space Station. Okay,
yeah.
So there's this line, mm-hmm. like a tampon string, coming out of my mm-hmm. body because I've been yeah. detached, and I'm just floating away. Mm-hmm. It's not a violent. Nothing violent happens. Like obviously, in that situation, I would die pretty quickly.
Oh, no, something violent would, yeah.
But
after,
the fear
after
is
the
just me lost.
That's very cinematic. That's like a trope that happens repeatedly in,
yeah.
in space.
Where do you think this fear came from? I probably like watch yeah. Apollo 13 or Gravity and mm-hmm. and was reinforced.
Gravity, that one. Oh, my God.
But it's like the yeah. fear of floating away in a vast expanse of nothing alone. Mm-hmm. That's the scary, yeah. like, how long am I going to be alone?
There's also something, I think the difference between space and the ocean, which there's a lot of differences, but fear-wise, at least in the ocean, you can propel yourself, even if it's a doggy
yeah.
paddle.
Yes.
In you're space, right. you're just like, yeah, there's, hello.
You can't
like, what,
work
you know,
your way towards
I would
anything.
Imagine. I've never been in space. Yeah. But yeah, it's like, have you ever had those dreams where you're trying to, every time I run in my uh-huh. dream, it's like this like weird, like I will run like once, twice, mm-hmm. and then I'll start floating a little bit and I won't be able to run as fast.
Oh.
And that always happens to me in my dream. That I'm like, boink, boink.
Just in your dreams?
Yeah, no, in real life, what happens is, I actually wouldn't know because I haven't run any time in the recent past.
Whatever, running's bad for you anyway.
Yeah, sure. So I think that's not going overboard in a boat situation.
Yeah, it's still
makes a
kind
lot
of
sense.
Aspirational, right? I'm not making it too real.
No, yeah, yeah.
Wow, but going over in a boat, that's a good one.
I have a fear of boats.
That's a good, yeah.
Because, like, boats can sink, and then you're just in the ocean.
So you won't get in one, or when you are in one? Is it, like, enough to be a boat? Yeah.
If I'm going to die, I'm going to die. I don't really care. Truthfully, there is that, like, part, like, you know how people are scared of flying?
Yes.
And, yeah. like, I don't know why, but, like, I'm just, like, I go to, like, the most logical place where I'm, like, why am I wasting my time being mm-hmm. scared of this? Because if it happens, it happens. And,
yeah.
like, I'd rather it just happen than mm-hmm. me spend time thinking about how bad it's going to be. Of course, that's not on my list.
Of course, yeah.
Because that seems too real.
You've got something like fear of wearing stripes bigger. And polka dots at the same time.
Oh, well, I do have the fear of wearing black and navy.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a fear because, listen, the older you get, the harder it is to tell if something
yeah.
is black or navy. Then you find yourself out in a public place. You can't do anything about it. And all you're thinking about is, I've made the
yeah.
wrong choice here.
It kind of feels like a there moment where you're like, oh, everyone's going to think. I thought that this was.
Everyone's going to think, yeah. yes, yes. And Cassie and I have gotten into multiple arguments about if is something black or navy. She feels I'm consistently wrong.
Yeah.
And it has instilled this deep fear in me that I'm going to walk out and it's going to be embarrassing. But that wasn't next on my list.
Yeah.
And this is not in order, obviously. Eggs that aren't refrigerated.
Oh.
It's very scary.
But you know that that's supposedly like a good thing.
I understand. I understand there's a world in which butter can be left
yeah.
out. I understand the world in which cheese can be left out. I respect that all of those things are valid to some people. The idea of a warm egg that has been just sitting out in room temperature
right.
is terrifying to me. Do you know what could happen?
It could-
like, you could get very sick. You could wind up in the hospital. Are you telling me you would just eat a room temperature egg that's been sitting out for a long time and you would have no remorse?
It has been 72 hours since I had a room temperature egg made for me and consumed it. I'm here today.
You live in a household where the eggs don't go in the fridge?
Not my household. I was at my sister's place. They do that. I don't know if it's like a
And you asked Britishism. You asked if you could have an egg and your niece said, "Yes, thank you." Oh, it's a British household. That's why. The butter's out. Isn't the butter out?
I think so. I think they leave everything out. Yeah. They want everything to be a little bit soft when you use it.
Okay. Well, if Dr. Naz thinks it's okay, maybe I can check it off my fears list.
Well, I didn't say she eats the eggs.
She just lets her children eat them. The people that she loves most, she lets eat the eggs.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Okay, well, I think one that is also falls into my West Side category, I'll just briefly mention, and I understand this is niche, you'd have to be there, LAX, the airport in Los Angeles. Freaking terrifying. Freaking terrifying. Every moment you're in the car, it's terrifying. You're walking to get into a car, it's terrifying. You're walking through security, it's terrifying. Every moment in LAX is a nightmare. There is no world in which you have a pleasant time in LAX unless you're the type of person that designs your Audi and then gets into a private
lane, right?
Celebrity rich people suite to get carted off to your private
jet.
This
is why I say you need to get a
terrifying.
Private jet because this fear is not worth ruining your life over.
I'm feeling like no one is legitimizing my fears today. I feel
really?
Like everyone's brushing
How many
them
times
off.
Are Logan and I nodding and being like, yeah, yeah, that's scary.
Logan is not nodding.
I'm seeing her nod.
We'll talk about them after.
Logan has
I'll
pulled
give
up
my feedback after
Logan
the show.
Logan has pulled up a list of therapists you could speak to after the show. No, these are real. I think that the LAX one is, for me, that one really brings up the fear of being late or missing a flight, which I feel like
missing a flight.
Whenever I go to the airport, that fear is so strong that I'm like, I have my ID ready to go when I step out of the cab. Like, I want to be ready to go into the pre-check, whatever that line is, the security line.
Yeah.
As soon as I get out of the cab.
A little brag there, but sure.
Oh, yeah guys, for a nominal fee of $80. Every 2 years,
annually,
you can walk yourself into a 30-minute line instead of an hour-long line.
Use code BEST.
Okay, I've got one last fear for you. You ready for it?
Yeah.
This is the fear of having to take a final exam for a class I didn't know I was in.
Yeah.
This is also
that's
a
like
nightmare.
A nightmare.
This is a big time nightmare that I still have more than 10 years after graduating from an educational institution.
being severely unprepared for something.
Yes. Oh my God.
Mine's the I'm backstage and they're like, "Okay, you're on." And I'm like,
"What?
Well, I don't know what play this is."
And I don't remember how to tap dance anymore. Yes, so this fear is
that would have been a good fear on my list, the fear of tap dancing.
So I have this stress dream whenever, you know, whenever I'm like highly stressed, I will either have my period when I'm really stressed, it will just come out, or I will have this dream.
It will just come out.
Just come out. Especially just when I'm not wearing my period underwear.
Yes.
And it's the same like scene every time. I'm in this auditorium that I took a real final in, like an econ final for a class I hated. I was so bad at it. And I'm always in this class and they're telling me that it's either like a advanced econ test or a science class. And every time I'm like, well, I can't use my words to like, I can't BS my way through it, whatever it is. And I was so plagued.
I like the broadness of it's a science class.
Yeah. And found out that the CEO of the last company I worked at, who was like a older man.
Who you love.
Yeah, exactly, the one I love. He still has the same dream too. His is not necessarily for science or econ,
but it's,
he has the college final. For me, there's also this one little added layer of shame that I needed to drop the class. Right, like that, like I want to
in real life
that like
the class that you're referencing you needed to drop and you didn't.
And then I'm like, I should have dropped it. But then, oh my God, what does that mean if I'm dropping a class? Does that mean I can't handle it? So there's just so many levels of like terrible in here. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
The majority of your dream, you're just sitting down thinking.
Counting on my fingers. All the things that went wrong.
You know what's weird is that reminded me of a nightmare that I haven't had too many times.
Ooh,
but I do think that there's parallel in just the public school system. Mm-hmm. The idea that you don't know where you're supposed to go. Like you don't know where your classes are and you've forgotten your schedule. That's the other like thing.
What does that have to do with the public school?
Because I always felt like this is so fucked, but I felt like there was like no one there to help you.
Oh,
sometimes.
Okay.
That like, you know what I mean? Like you're tossed into
that
this.
That student
like,
to teacher ratio,
you know,
was not in your favor.
Exactly. And like you're going, like for me, going from a school where I had 12 people in my class to 500 people in my class. And like you're in this whole campus and multiple buildings with multiple teachers for multiple subjects and, you know, and you're like, oh, okay, at this time I have to be in this building in this specific room with this teacher, but I've never been on this campus before.
Fend for yourself.
So, you know, exactly. So like, I hope that I get there on time and no one gives a shit if I do or not. And, you know, it's my own problem.
Totally.
I saw, I don't know if it was a Reddit post. I was not on Reddit, but I saw a post that was like, we tried to help this freshman with their school schedule, and it turned out when we grabbed the schedule that they don't go to this school. And I just was like, oh my God.
That's so good.
I'm thinking about back to like how anxious I was in that time period and how unsure of myself I was and how scared of everything I was. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I would die. I think I would just melt into the ground. Like, what do? You're at the wrong fucking school.
Oh, terrible.
Which brings me to my next fear, which is not related at all to what we're talking about. But I have a fear of getting flappy underarms.
Oh,
I know it's inevitable. Yeah. I am on my way there. Yeah. I think back to when I was a child and I'd like play with my mom's flappy underarms and she'd be like, stop it. And I'd be like, why are you so mean? And if anyone ever did that to me, I would feel terrible.
Yeah.
But like, it's an inevitable truth. I've seen, I mean, freaking J-Lo, who's like the most built like 60-year-old on the
50.
Planet. I'm sorry, I don't know how
50.
Old she is.
Famously
sure.
50.
She, I mean, anyone who's even like fit has the flappy underarm.
Yeah.
It's just a womanly accessory. But I am terrified of it. I don't know. And someone on the internet already told me I had grandma arms, which was really yes. But the flappy underarm thing, like the tricep.
Yeah. You got to keep those triceps tight, you know?
I mean,
but this is the thing. I will say there's also a nice part of a flappy underarm.
Oh?
Yeah, I have really fond memories of my preschool teacher, Mrs. Grimsley. Funnily enough, her name was Grimsley. Yeah, like our high school. Mrs. Grimsley. All the kids, all the girls specifically at playtime would line up would kind of like encircle her, okay? Oh, she was probably 80-some years old. She was so old.
So these are flappy, old
woman, okay? And we would take turns. We would take turns jiggling her arms and petting her little gizzard, the little under chin area.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and she would totally indulge us. And we would be like, oh, we love you. You're so soft. You're so soft.
This is,
and
I don't think this is okay.
It was so inappropriate.
This is nightmare fuel. Like, can you rethink?
10 little girls?
Can you rethink this?
Well.
10 little girls touching.
Jiggling.
An 80-year-old woman's jiggly, wrinkly parts. And petting them and going, you're so soft.
It was so nice. It's such a happy memory for me. It's fucked up in so many ways, but she gave us a lot of pleasure.
Ew! Don't! She gave us a lot of pleasure.
Mrs. Grimsley was a great teacher.
Oh, okay, I just two more very quick things. They're related to each other. I'm scared of what waiters can do to your food. There is that period of time where they are alone or they are with people who support bad decision making, because I understand it. Customer service is very terrible, and I try and be as nice as possible to anyone I interact with, period. But like, could be having a bad day. Could be having a bad day. And I don't know what you could put in the food.
Somebody could ask, yeah, like, you know, hey, is this natural wine taste normal?
Yeah, yeah. You never know what a good wine director is going
to
do.
Yeah. I think you're right. You're right, though. You have to keep it polite, keep it, like, impersonal or polite.
Yeah,
so that
it
they don't
matter.
Spit.
It
you do.
Matter.
They do.
They. It does. I mean, that does matter. I'm just saying anyone can have a bad day.
Oh, just because they're a bad day. Okay. That's like a meme.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And then also another restaurant experience that I'm fearful of, and I hate to admit this because it is very telling of how far my education has fallen. I am scared of, and I know there's simple tricks, and I know how to do it, but when I'm put on the spot, calculating the tip and then adding it to the total. Yep. And if I've had a drink or two, I feel as if everyone is looking at me. Everyone's judging me. I can't do basic arithmetic. I can't do any of that. And then I question myself repeatedly. And so I
get that calculator out.
I've gone to calculator. Yes. I've gone to unapologetically just like, you know, I'm just going to do this with a calculator. Really appreciate those checks that come that have the percentage with the it's already figured out. Like, why don't they do that on everything? How hard is it just to have that come with everything? But man, the fear of calculating a tip is deep rooted. Really,
I will say yes to that. I will say yes to that.
I will say yes to that.
I am carrying
when
the one.
The sperm meets the egg.
I was at a, this is early on in my relationship with Zach. I was taking one of these like grad school exams, and you had to do a lot of mental math. So he's really good at mental math. Like, that guy can multiply any number that you give him and get an answer immediately. Mm. I cannot.
That's hot.
I can't. And so he was trying to help me. And one of these help sessions intersected with a dinner that I had with his mom and stepdad, where the check comes. He's like, okay, honey, do the math. I'm like, honey,
no,
don't fucking bring this up in front of people.
How dare you?
Don't.
How dare you? I take it back. It is not hot.
Oh. And I was like, what? God. You can't do that in front of people. No.
In front of people, but also in front of your parents.
I know.
Oh, honey, I know that you don't know basic math. No. Oh, parents,
like, it's
this
great...
is the girl that I'm with that doesn't know basic math.
Look at this dumb girl I'm helping. Oh, man. These were some good fears.
Okay.
These were
well,
some
yeah,
good
I
fears.
I feel like we continue to learn a lot about each other, who brings the meat of an episode and who doesn't. But I'm glad I got some of these off my chest.
Yeah.
You know.
And who knows? Maybe that will, the airing it out helps reduce the anxiety and fear. Maybe.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I have a fun little awkward, uncomfortable moment for you? That has to do with one of your biggest fears, I would say. Kids.
Good.
Kids. Okay.
Okay.
So normally I would say if you are choosing to play with kids, engage in play.
If you are choosing to play.
Like with girls, my experience has been I'm making sure that you feel like you have agency. Because you are so triggered by children. I feel like with girls, when it gets like rough play is like screaming really loudly or they're chasing you. It's like tag and tickling. Okay. But with boys, it's fucking scary. Okay. Boys like do not hold anything back.
Give me an example.
So I was at a friend's house who has three boys. Okay. Three boys under the age of 6, I think, right? So it's intense. They're super sweet, so loving, but when playtime hits, they are coming after you. And I was just taking the approach I normally do. I'm like, oh, you get a little bit physical, you like kick a ball with them, you like throw a ball. These kids were pelting me with whatever they could find. So like they had a teddy bear that we were playing with. And they weren't trying to toss the teddy bear at me. They were like throwing it at my face. So I felt the strategy was like, what can I throw that will hit your most sensitive place? Like, what will destabilize you?
Where's the mom in this playtime?
She's
like, it's just you and three boys. And
in this moment, she's actually just watching. She's just watching.
That is the most awkward to me is the parent to child interaction when you're involved. And like, it's not someone that you're close with that you can be like, your kid's a fucking asshole.
So she is a very good friend. And she was laughing watching us because I instigated the situation. I started it. So it was on me in some ways, but I felt awkward though because I was like, I feel like I'm going to get hurt and I'm afraid of getting hurt. But like, I don't, how do I end this? This is really uncomfortable. Like, I don't want to play.
You're doing that like fake laughter thing.
I'm like, oh, you're so funny. Oh, what good aim you have. And so what I end up doing is I end up like running and locking myself in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Literally.
Very adult response.
They are all outside laughing and running, and I'm inside of a dark bathroom being like, you can't catch me. Thank God I'm in here. Yeah.
We're playing the quiet game. We're playing the game where I run away. Ha 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 ha.
I'm going to count to 20. Go hide. So yeah, I just like, I don't know how to.
So wait, what did your friend do in that instance?
I mean, she eventually helped me, but this was like, this things escalate so quickly. So over a 30-second period, like we go from like joking around to getting assaulted, really.
Hurt. Yeah. And is she like, in this instance, she's like, okay, everybody, like let's go do something else, or we're getting a little rowdy.
Yes, she does. Exactly. She distracts them. Now it's like, okay, now move on to the next thing, guys. Nagin, like, that's enough now. So she handled it, you know, the way I think the only way you can handle it with like a pack of boys.
It's interesting that you bring this up because Cassie's recently had the situation. You know, there's a lot of little kids in our neighborhood. She's really good with kids and she has relationships with all these kids and their parents. And I think I brought this up before. We've noticed like this like gentle parenting technique that happens, especially in LA. And sometimes it results in some brattiness. And so how do you navigate something that's said to you by a little kid in front of their parent that's like a really asshole-y thing to say? Or like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so she's been in these situations where it's like, you know, you don't want to offend the parent. You don't want to parent
a kid
in front of the parent. But then you're also like, why are you letting your kid
do
be
this,
an asshole to me in this situation? It's such a weird line.
It is such a weird line. And I have come up with something because I've been in this situation a lot where I've decided to just tell the kid how I'm feeling. So if they say something that's like mean or they don't want to share, whatever, I'm like, that makes me feel like Daniel Tiger it, right? like that makes me feel hurt. You hurt my feelings. And if a parent hears that, then like, I don't know, if they're not responding to you sharing that you have you feel hurt by that,
yeah,
then that's another problem. But I agree. Ugh. It's really hard to like not assume that you're on the same page with everyone that you're interacting with. Like,
yeah.
You don't play by the same rules.
And you don't want to give,
you
like, so. Yeah. And you don't want to teach someone a lesson. And that, you know, like, yeah. It's like, yeah. It's so I think that that's a good response, because you can't say, like, there's no arguing with how you feel in that yeah. moment and how you're expressing your right. feelings. But like, as soon as you're like, you know, it's maybe not nice to play that hard, then it's like, oh, you really are.
Yeah, exactly.
Hard or not?
Yeah.
You're like, time out. I hate every bit of what you just said. No, thank you. No, thank you.
Oh, we're going to find you a kid you love.
And I'm so excited to meet all of your kids
yeah.
in a day.
Oh,
this
man.
Weekend at Mythicon.
We're excited to see you guys.
Thanks for listening to this week's Best Friends Back, All Right.
You can catch brand new episodes every Friday. Make sure to follow so you don't miss an episode. If you're enjoying the podcast, leave us a review. You can follow at Mythical Pods on TikTok for clips to share with family and friends. You can follow me at Nagin and Stevie everywhere at Stevie W. Levine.
And of course, you can hear me every Monday through Friday on Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link at youtube.com/goodmythicalmorning. I'll see you there.